God's word for you, Mark 5, 35 to 43, verses 35 and 36. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the synagogue ruler's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus overheard what they said, and he said to the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Verse 35 doesn't include what we know must also have taken place. The father, Jairus, was told that his daughter died. The Greek word presents this as an almost terse fact, but the man surely would have reacted to the news with a flood of grief and tears. It wouldn't have been any ordinary servant who brought this news, but a small delegation. Mark says simply that they came saying. My translation has men only because the verb saying or said is masculine plural. But it could have been a group of men and women, either family or servants or both. After a little while, someone added, "Why trouble the teacher anymore?" They thought it was just time to go home. The idea of asking for Jesus' help had seemingly failed. Besides, the Lord seemed to be talking with some woman from the crowd. It was then that the Lord turned away from the woman who had been healed. His attention was now fully on Jairus, the grieving father, and his words were hard to understand or believe. "Don't be afraid, only believe." Don't be afraid of what? Just believe what? The girl was dead. Was Jesus going to preach about, well, the resurrection on the last day? But there were rumors down in Judea about something Jesus had done a few months before, a miracle in the hillside village of Nain. Could it be that this could happen once again? Verses 37 to 40. He did not allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue ruler, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. He entered the house and said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. But after he put them all outside, he took the child's father and mother, and those who were with him, and went in where she was. This is the first time that Jesus divides his disciples from the smaller inner circle of Peter, James, and John. In this case, can there be any real reason apart from the smallness of the room? Was it done now for convenience and, I suppose, respect for the girl herself? But later, maybe this would become an act that in some way reflected leadership potential in three of these men. But as we follow them in Jesus, we come upon a scene that was, for them, a usual deathbed scene. There were already professional mourners who had arrived. Professional mourners, and they're mentioned other places in the Bible, like Amos 5:16 and Jeremiah 9, verses 17 and 18. They were found in many nations in ancient times, like Egypt and the faraway land of Ugarit. And in some places, the practice continues even today. Usually, the family begins the grieving process, and then, as the professionals found out about the death, they would also gather and join in, and eventually they would sing and continue the wailing sounds. Well, the Lord's words, "The child is not dead but sleeping," actually drew laughter in this crowd. And then Jesus put everybody out of the house, whether they were paid to be there or not. Only Jairus and his wife and the three disciples remained. Doubtless the other nine disciples acted a little bit like a security force outside to keep the curious from going in. There are few things so frustrating and irritating to a minister as trying to comfort someone who is grieving in the presence of an outspoken skeptic, where even a prayer might be interrupted. Well, let's finish the chapter. He took her hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the little girl got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were completely astonished and amazed. He ordered them strictly that no one should know about this. Then he told them to give her something to eat. These actions were simple. There was no waving of hands or rattles, no incense burning, no special music or poetry. Jesus just took her hand and said, "Girl, get up." She got up, not slowly or gradually, but immediately. And what are we to make of Mark's mention of her age? This girl had begun life when the healed woman's flow of blood had begun. As I said in a previous devotion, we could make much of this coincidence as an allegory for many things. But the only thing that we must do without hesitation is take these two numbers, the 12 years of the woman's bleeding and the 12 years of the girl's life, and say that they are factual numbers. Why did he raise her from the dead? It was not for her benefit. A soul that has entered heaven has no desire to leave and return to earth. Therefore, it was for the sake of her grieving parents and also to give Christ glory. If questions are asked about this girl's later life as a believer, we must believe that the grace of God had a special place in her life after this. Did she become a wife and mother? If so, that husband's joy and the lives of those children and later descendants were all the result of the grace of God through Jesus our Lord. And since that's something we could say about any of us, well, we only see her later life as a magnifying glass for God's grace and glory to shine more brightly for anyone who came to know her. Here at the home of her parents, Mark adds a little detail to prove the truth of the miracle. Give her something to eat. Her hunger was not only on account of her momentary death, but also on account of her long illness. She had physical needs following her resurrection, and it's likely that we shall have similar needs after we arise. But God will look after us at that time. Here in the moment, the girl's parents were there to take care of her. Here we see Christ who heals and who raises the dead. Here we also see faith in a woman in need and a father in need. Whatever your needs are, follow their good example and carry your needs to the Lord in prayer. He will not ignore your prayer of faith. He will watch over you today and always. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.